Hello, dear poetry lover. My name is Don Platt, and I would like to read for you a poem written in prose. It's called Coney Island Avenue. The morning of Al's funeral, we wake to streets, sidewalks, trees, and cars, encased in a sheet of ice, 1/8 of an inch thick, so that everything under our overcast sky gleams grayly. Al is my neighbor Felicia's father. His father's surname was Rabinowitz, but the family anglicized it to Roberts. A week and a half ago, Al died, aged 94 and 95 days. The last time I saw Al, he was wearing a Chicago Cubs cap and was sitting on Felicia's back deck in a wrought iron chair on a warm day in early November, watching the orange-yellow leaves of the sugar maple tremble in light breeze. His eyes were a watery blue. They almost matched the Cubs cap. By the end, he had lost his short-term memory. The Cubs had just won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. He didn't say much. His eyes kept tracking the squirrel, leaping from half-bare branch to black telephone line and back. Even after salting the sidewalks, everyone walks slowly, baby step by baby step, on the ice, as if they too are nonagenarians and have misplaced their canes or walkers. Joshua, his eldest son, gives the eulogy and tells the family story of how Al was supposed to meet them all at the ferry to Martha's Vineyard. They got on the ferry, Joshua, Felicia, Matthew, and their mother, Audrey. "All aboard," the captain called out over the loudspeaker. No sign of Al. The ferry started to move away from the dock. Then they saw Al sprinting toward them. At the last possible moment, Al jumped from the dock out over the 4-foot gap of salt water widening between dock and ferry. Joshua says, "To me, at 11 years old, it looked like my father was Superman, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound." He starts to cry. He cries silently for almost a full minute. Everyone in the retirement community's non-denominational chapel is quiet. Grief is like walking on ice. One has to go forward, knees bent, leaning forward slightly. Our bones are fragile. Be careful not to fall. Al leaped. He landed safely on the steel deck of the ferry that carried him, his daughter, 2 sons, and wife across 7 miles of water to an island. They lived there for 2 weeks one summer. Joshua looks out through his tears at the surviving family and friends. It is hard to see them. Crying is like chipping the ice from his windshield this morning. At first, that opaque sheet wouldn't break. He had to hammer at it with the edge of his plastic yellow scraper, then one hairline crack. The ice separated into 3 tectonic plates moving slowly apart on a film of water. Suddenly, one whole plate shattered into shards of glass. Tears come unbidden. Then they stop as suddenly. It is as if he has been crying splinters of ice. They come from water frozen inside himself. He wipes ice melt from his cheeks. Joshua sees the room again with aching clarity, as if he just had the lenses of his glasses changed to a new prescription. He sees people he should know. They are strangers dressed in various shades of black and gray. They are a black and white rainbow. No, here are his mother, brother, sister. He sees them as if for the first time. His mother dabs at the tears streaming down her face with a small sodden bit of Kleenex. Joshua tells another story, how, during the Depression in Brooklyn, an ice cream truck drove past 902 Coney Island Avenue. As it turned the corner, Its back door flew open, and a cardboard cylinder of ice cream, 2 feet long, 10 inches in diameter, fell out. It was chocolate. The truck did not come back. Al and his childhood friends had two choices. They could either eat it or let it melt. They sat on the stoop and ate all the ice cream. Throughout his long life, Al would remember that hot afternoon, how cold the ice cream felt going down his throat. It felt, he said, like trying to say an incomprehensible word from the Torah, a word of many syllables, all the hard consonants turning in his mouth to that one vowel of chocolate. So dark, bitter, and yet silken sweet.